moving on to town charter presentation.
So there's only a couple slides. I'm sure there'll be more questions. Great. So at the request of Councilor LeBlanc, I think maybe a couple of other folks had talked about the town charter either during the meeting or when we were talking afterwards. There's three slides, just to go through them. So for the public at home, as well as all the folks here, quick review of your town charter. You're approaching your 50th anniversary of your town charter in a couple of years when you have the town anniversary, the 250th. In 1978, you created the council manager, council administrator form of government. This is by far the most predominant form of government in the United States. Only in New England and a couple of other states do we do town meeting forms of government. When I go to my international conferences, nobody has any idea what town meeting is. But council's manager form of government. I do believe Franklin was one of the first, if not the first, community in this state to adopt a council manager form of government. As I said, we're a home rule state, so not all cities and towns have a town charter. My two hometowns of where I was born and where I live, they don't have any town charter at all. Your town charter is essentially your checks and balances. It's your essentially the constitution of your community. And there's now about 13 or 14 communities. The last couple communities that adopted this form of government were North Attleboro and Amherst. And I think as decades move forward, I do think this form of government will be considered by the Natives. Maybe the Needhams and some of those communities, the Wellesleys, who you know, go to town meeting for 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 nights and are going to have a hard time getting people to fill the seats. In 1984, you did a charter five-year review of growing pains, and the Charter Commission report basically came out and said, stay the course. I would note that the charter in 1978 commission and the commission in 84, both were 5-4 votes. So you had 9 members, they were close, there was not consensus, and it's important to note, when you change a town charter, it is not easy. It is very, very hard. This now city of Framingham spent 30 or 40 years going through multiple charter commissions to have them fail at the ballot. The one 8 years ago, which myself and Jeff Nutting were a part of their commission on behalf of helping their commission, I believe the vote was like 51-49 to go to a mayor, and Framingham has struggled since. They've stabilized, but you go through, when you change power centers, you change a lot, and people get, and the public get nervous, and just because the voters voted for it 51%, the other 49% are now working against the people that, so. You got to kind of be careful. In 1995, the town 30 years ago did do a full charter commission. We'll talk about that in a minute. And there was a sentence in there on page 9 about the town leading the way, and that was true. If you go to the Mass Municipal Conference, you will get probably 90% of the people there will say the town of Franklin has the best town charter in the state of Massachusetts, and we're jealous of your community for what you have. So Franklin has always led the way on this. I would note in 1995, the major reason for that was because you had 17 councilors. So the meetings were getting over at 1 in the morning, and there were 17 folks. And so that the big piece of that charter commission was to get what you have today, which is 9 councilors. So you're now at 30 years of having the 9 councilors. In 2007 to 14, there was a few technical corrections. The biggest issue was the treasurer collector. I think that took 2 votes at the ballot, if I'm not mistaken. It was 2 votes. The first time it failed, the second time it passed. And in that second-
back is, and then it went back up for a home rule.
Went back up
by
for
itself
a home rule.
Was sent back for a home rule.
We'll get into that in a minute. So there was a home rule legislation filed, but the legislature sent it back to the town to have a ballot vote. And that was the last real, that was right before I got here. That was the last significant change, if anything, that had in the charter.
Yeah, that was two votes, though.
And your treasurer collector at the time, Mr. Dacey, still a very popular guy, has, right? He was fully supportive of the both towns. But sometimes even a small amendment like that gets killed at the ballot and then comes back a couple of years, do more education and outreach in the past. There was a non-binding question in 2014 to support a mayor and was defeated by the residents about 2-1. And since the last 10 years or so, there have been moments where we put on the docket, Councilor DeLorco, to look at the town charter, but then the pandemic, then this, then that, then this, then that. And you have to really set aside time and community bandwidth and education and space to really educate people and get input on a full charter review. So there are two ways to alter the town charter. The first is through an elected charter commission, which is formal, and is a ballot question. And I've laid out here the steps. 15% of voters will sign a petition to have an election of a commission. The council then orders the ballot within 30 days, or it automatically goes on the ballot. So if people brought a petition by and you didn't take any action, it would just go on the ballot. Candidates run for the charter commission. This is another myth out there. I know a couple former colleagues of you guys in the last couple of years thought you guys could be on the commission. Well, you could run for it as a counselor, but automatically you don't get a seat because you're a counselor.
No.
And the council is not the charter commission. There's very specific statutory requirements. Typically, you would hire a group like the Collins Center out of UMass Boston, who are really the organization that has the most experience, especially on this form of government. They worked with Framingham, they worked with Amherst. They know how to do the educational piece. A requirement of the Charter Commission and that statute is the council has to fully fund their operations. So you're talking about a solid couple $100,000 to fund a charter commission. There are regulations in that statute that require a certain amount of public hearings. You're gonna wanna go out and do a whole roadshow. You have to do a lot of education. Amherst, I think, took about 4 to 5 years, soup to nuts, and they had community consensus. But just the detail at which it gets into, various boards and committees, is this board going to be elected, is this one not going to be elected, da 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 da. I mean, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. It's not just staggered terms, but you really have to go out and do a tremendous amount of outreach, and you have to hire a consultant to help guide you, because there are a lot of very specific statutory requirements with this. Mark?
And the other thing is, once you've elected a charter commission, they are autonomous.
Yep.
Whatever they come in with, ultimately your only solution is, if you don't like it, to defeat it at the ballot.
Right.
Because you can't direct them. They're on their own. They have a statutory budget. They have their own consultant. And if they decide to go in a different direction, there's nothing you can do about it.
The only thing you can do, it never comes back to the council to amend their recommendation. It's a simple up or down vote at the ballot. So if the charter commission puts something out that y'all don't like, or the school committee doesn't like, or the planning board doesn't like, you have to, right. And that's really what Framingham, a lot of what Framingham went through, was just consistent lack of consensus over terms, board seats, at-large seats, and then everybody that ran for the charter commission wanted to be mayor. So then half, a third of them ran for mayor, and they all lost. So it seems easy, but to Mark's point, one of the big reasons you're gonna have to consider if you do a charter commission is they have complete autonomy to go out and do their own work. Obviously all of you can speak to them, but they come back with a report, they come back with a proposal, and it's an up or down vote.
And they're elected to go through, like if it takes 4 or 5 years, they're there for the whole time.
Yep. Could be 10 years.
It could be 10 years. They have no.
And if somebody resigns, you have to go back and hold another election to fill that seat. So you have to have 9 people that are extraordinarily dedicated and are not going to give up, or you're going to face additional problems. And then if people resign, then does the public to feel the trust you know, does it break the process? I mean, there's a lot to consider when you're. What's that?
Costs money to run another election.
Costs money to run an election, so. And then the second choice before questions is you could do an ad hoc subcommittee. I believe this is the way they went through with the treasurer collector. So as an example, if I know for a fact the Board of Health, for example, has not had a candidate fill out papers like all of you do for council in like almost 8 years. Every candidate that's on the Board of Health now has been a write-in candidate for, I think, 3 or 4 election cycles. So we'll just use the Board of Health for example. If you want to unelect the Board of Health, which the Board of Health would love to be unelected, the Board of Assessors do not want to be elected. They want to go through the same process that you go through for committee appointments. You could do an ad hoc committee if it focuses just on those smaller tweaks. Once you start getting into the form of government, composition, mode of election, terms of legislative bodies, staggered terms, you know, duties of the town administrator, other structural mechanisms to the legislative body, or the planning board, or the school committee, staggered terms. The planning board has 4-year terms, the school committee's 2, y'all are 2. If you start changing any of that, even if you wanted to just go up to the planning board, even if the planning board came to you, you know, you'd have to tightrope a fine line. But nonetheless, you still have to go out to the ballot and sell that. So even if you set up an ad hoc committee and said, we've identified 1 or 2 small problems, and we've got widespread consensus, that still has to go to the ballot. So even if you had an ad hoc committee and said, we just want to unelect the Board of Health and the Board of Assessors, I'm just using it as an example, you could do that, and then you would take that to the ballot. And I think there's different philosophies, and I'll end here. This is where strategy becomes important, and what are you trying to achieve? If you're trying to achieve an overhaul of problems, you go the commission route. If you're looking for a fair and independent review, you're going through the commission route. If you're looking at solving one issue, you could do this and go to the ballot, but you know, it depends on what the objectives are of the town council or the other elected boards or the citizens. If they've identified, hey, this shoe doesn't fit anymore, we've got to change something. You know, that's where I think the group was going to want to go into this. I think it would be advantageous at some point to identify from all of you, the school committee, the planning board, others, like what are we trying to fix? What's broken and what are we trying to fix? That's the end of the slideshow, and obviously Mark and I are here to answer any questions for folks.
Right. Thank you. So through you, Jamie. The only way it can get onto the ballot is 15%, we have to do it through petition. So we do have to get 15% or can the cut. So,
go ahead, Mark.
So there's a statutory way to amend a charter, which has two procedures in it. One's a full-blown charter commission that Jamie alluded to.
Right.
Then there's another way to do it by simply a ballot, however you get it, whether it's a committee or however you determine it, with a few exclusions. So major structural changes like the number of councilors, staggered terms, town administrator's authority, you cannot do that. But elected to appointed,
right,
even changing the time of an election, what things like that can be done per that statute.
Right. Do they need the 15%?
No.
No.
So I don't need, so to do a commission, how, if it doesn't, so I'm reading this, I need 15% to get a commission, to have a commission. So there's another way to put a ballot question on for commission, i.e.
No, it's not a commission then. It's
but that's result. My point. That's my point, Councilman, is I want to create a full commission.
Yeah.
So I do want it to be a ballot question, have the 9, run for it, the full thing.
Right.
The only way to get that on the ballot is I need to get 15% of the voters to put that on the,
right,
to
you
do
have,
that.
Well, you have to come, well, you have to get that many votes, so.
Could the council, 9 of them, put a ballot question on a future election without any voter signatures?
Yes, that's the question. That's exactly the question I'm asking.
To create a ballot commission?
To create a charter commission.
To create a charter commission.
I mean, a charter commission.
Yes.
Offhand, I would say, no, you have to comply with specifically the statutory procedure for creating a charter commission.
And by that statute, it said 15% of voters. What he's asking is there an either or? Obviously, voters could go out and get a petition themselves, right? But can the council order a ballot question without the 15% of voters? Or does that ballot signatory thing have to happen? Do you just know off the top of your head? Or?
Well, if what you're talking about is making a specific change or change.
No. We're talking about a commission.
You have to comply with the statute.
I know, but we're asking. So if you don't know the statute, it's okay.
I don't have a limit, okay. So I can't.
So to be determined, then, because obviously that's a good way to see if the residents want to look at amending the charter. If I can't even get 15% of them to sign. To be on the ballot, then it's pretty much telling me that they have no interest in making that change. Obviously, I was looking to have this put on and to talk about, and one of the questions that I was going to send you an email about this, Jamie, is if we were looking to make structural changes, and I'm not going to go through what those structural changes would be, is it reasonable if I was to draw a calendar to make those changes for the 2027 election, 2 years from now. Is it really possible to do that from a timeline perspective? Like literally, you'd have to have the Charter Commission vote done by April of the prior year. And so if you work your way backwards, is there any possibility to having changes in place for the 2027 election?
Mr. Chairman, I mean, again, I think it comes back to what's the problem we're trying to solve. I think if you went for the November election this year, or excuse me,
2 months,
right?
27.
26. Well, first step might be to have an ad hoc subcommittee to identify exactly what we're trying to do.
Right.
I think working backward, you could elect a commission on the state election in 2026 in November without having to do a special election, right? So if you didn't do a special election in June or something next year, you waited for the state election to be a separate ballot. You'd obviously have to work with the town clerk on all these details. But you could elect a charter commission in 2026, I believe. Whether or not that group who gets elected, that's where the independence issue comes in.
That's
right.
You then, to answer your question working backwards, you're then beholden to their timeline. My experience tells me if you're doing a full charter commission with a couple hundred thousand, you get a consultant, it's going to be very, very challenging to do that in 27. That being said, if the group's only trying to deal with a couple of items, you know, then yes, that's a lot easier to get, you know, and this is a philosophy thing. My predecessor, him, myself, have always thought, pick them off one by one. Because the big charter commission, you don't know where that's gonna go once they get elected. And it could divide the community more, it could unify the community as well. But if you try to identify the treasurer collector, that one issue, you take them one at a piece, then you can definitely have a ballot question for 2027, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, personally, some of the things that I would be looking for from a charter commission or would not be the little, they would be substantial changes. They would be.
So you'd need a whole.
Yeah, things like staggered terms, things like increasing membership or changing from elected body to a non-elected body. Again, not a lot of changes, but I think based upon what you've mentioned here, they are structural changes to it. They're not slight changes. What was my other question? The one question I had was, and it has nothing to do with a charter commission, actually, and maybe it would. Are we, right now, our elections are every other year that are on a non-presidential year. Is that, can we have our elections actually fall on a presidential year? Can they fall, or is there, what prohibits us from moving those?
It should be a separate,
Go ahead.
I believe that you're prohibited from having the local on the state ballot under those circumstances, and that therefore you'd have to have two separate ballots. And that's why it's being, that's why it's done on odd years.
So when we say two separate ballots, I mean, I look at two separate ballots as, here's a piece of paper, and here's a piece of paper.
Right.
Is it as simple as that?
Well, it anytime you do something like that, it creates, you know, it's Murphy's Law, it creates a potential for confusion, and if there's some way somebody's gonna screw it up, they're gonna screw it up, you know, you put it in the wrong box or whatever. And the extra work and all, counting and keeping things segregated. So that's my understanding.
You'd have to get, obviously, advice from the town clerk on that.
I was just gonna say that.
Obviously.
Right. But I would think that, just personally, that we always complain that not enough people vote, but if you moved it to a presidential election, holy you.
So.
It changes the dynamics drastically.
You may also irritate, I'm being serious, you may also irritate people with too much, but you just can't.
So,
I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but you know, that's why a commission, it takes a long time, because these, because I know this is gonna shock you, there are so many opinions. And how to thread the needle on those opinions is extremely hard, because as you already pointed out, Councilor LeBlanc, and you're right, if somebody doesn't get their way, they're voting no. Mm-hmm. And then you could be doing all this work and all this money for no gain. Correct. I mean, that's what the Framingham went through, I think, for many decades.
Well, one last comment.
My opinion, based on my experience, which includes the town of Medway, where I lived, which had no charter and was in a disastrous situation, politically and financially. What we did here in Franklin, when Jeff Nutting was the TA, we basically did a rewrite of the charter. You avoid the loss of control of the charter commission as well as the expense by doing it informally with a committee and whatever input, but you're outside that statutory scheme, and you finally have a product. You then have the council decide that they like it or not. If they do like it, they vote to send it up to the legislature on a home rule petition. There was a time when the legislature would just rubber stamp them. The tendency has been, yes, they give you the approval, but they also send it back for a local ballot question. But nevertheless, that's still a simpler and less expensive process than the commission. And you don't lose that control, which the charter commission process involved.
So just one last comment would be, I agree with creating a subcommittee so that a group, us nine or whatever, can kind of ferret out what we think some of those or what those changes would be. Mm-hmm. And then potentially, as Councilor Sorrell said, we then survey the community, like, what do you agree with? We just kind of do our own little survey monkey. And again, just it's a straw ballot to see whether or not the wind's in favor for those kinds of changes. But I personally was hoping to be able to make whatever change we can make by the next election. I mean, realistically, in this climate, I don't think that would happen. But I think if we should investigate potential changes and give our thoughts about what direction it should go, and then potentially use Council Sorrell's option, which is home rule it. I don't know if that would get us all the way home, but I'm all set. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Max.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I just want to acknowledge, you know, I would love to get into the weeds of charter stuff and bylaws. I like that kind of stuff. But I do think that the most important thing right now for this council is to focus on our budget and focus on building trust with the community. And I do worry that focusing on the charter right now might be a little bit of a sideshow from being able to accomplish those things. You know, like I said, you know, I think right now, priority number one should be our budget and trying to figure out how we're going to make ends meet. And I don't think that, you know, focusing on the charter right now is the best use of our time. I think if I had a target date for when we should do a charter review, it would be 2029, putting it on that town ballot after potentially we look at some other options for the budget. But I don't think right now that it's in our best interest to focus on this. We might not even have regular committees. We're going to put an ad hoc committee together. Like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like the best use of the resources.
I am so confused. Okay, so my brain is going. I get that. Yeah. And then, through the chair, Mark, you said we could kind of decide what we wanted with the committee, make decisions, and then send that up, and then they'll bump it back, and then we can put that on the ballot. So essentially, we can still change the charter without doing a commission.
You just can't do substantial changes.
No, you can shortcut it. The town of Medway did an entire new charter that way. Whether it's good or bad, it's a policy decision.
Here's the clause, though. Town of Medway, several years ago, went to unelect their town clerk, okay? And this has been going on for decades. And they sent up a home rule up to Beacon Hill, and because of the division in the community over the question, the elected representatives on Beacon Hill, and I understand why this is not a criticism, they sent it back to the local ballot. What you're seeing now from the legislature is, we don't want to get in the middle of local decisions.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And I want to be clear, I fully understand why state legislators don't want to get in the middle of that. I really do understand, because these are local conversations. Their job is to advocate on Beacon Hill. You can go through the home rule process where the council could take the Charter Commission report, put it into a home rule, file it in the legislature, and the legislature could approve it. But that is a very, very microscopic ability to get past, because if you have not consensus in the community, you're passing that division to Rep Roy and Senator Roush. And naturally, they're going to go, wait a minute, this isn't a decision I made. How do I do this? If the council votes 6-3 on a home rule because y'all don't agree with the staggered terms or something, and you get it to them, you're just, the point I'm trying to make is, the way you really have to do this if you want to do a wholesale thing is go all in and do the commission, elect the board, bake out, as Max said, 4-6 years, give some time, give it the resources, and build the community consensus. If there's anything that I hope we've learned from our fail to overrun, okay, is that you need to go out and do the work. You got to go out and talk to people one-on-one at their houses, in the coffee shops, out in the community, and really make sure the community is in favor overwhelmingly on something, so when you go to the ballot, it passes. You can file legislation with the State House, but that is a very, very low, almost microscopic probability of getting through. Because they're just gonna say, as Mark said, send it back to the local officials and put it on the ballot.
Yep.
That's what they've been saying over and over. So it is a need to an end. But it's a waste of time.
Okay, so just one other question, which I get, and I'm not suggesting we do one or the other. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. But what if we had an ad hoc thing and we were taking community engagement and we were listening, and then everybody talked and we had a nice little conversation, and everybody was on the page of what they wanted changed, including the residents. Then we follow whatever it is you called it, because I can't remember.
Home rule.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And filed it, and they bounced it back to us, and we still put it on a ballot, which is not a problem, because the residents should decide anyway, right. So I'm all for that. But if that's something that we could do, depending on what the changes are being looked to have happened, that would save us money and still come out with an outcome where the residents are actually still deciding.
Right. But I think Councilor Grella mentioned, like, those are, you can't do substantial changes to your legislative body through that process.
Even with the home rule?
Even with the home rule.
So if you want to...
Well, you could technically do it with the home rule. But again, without knowing the specifics of what we're changing, it's hard to answer.
Right.
If you're doing staggered terms, you're going through the Charter Commission, and you gotta go to the ballot. I'm just trying to make it, I'm trying to make it easy for you.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to make it easy for you. If you're gonna change staggered terms, which is, I think, what everybody wants to do.
Yeah.
School committee, council, planning board, whoever, if you're changing the five elected boards, you're doing this route. You're going through that.
Okay.
You know, right, you know, we have to, at that point, I think evaluate with Rep. Roy and Senator Roush, if, to your point, if there's just widespread consensus and there's peace and love and happiness and everybody's on board, you know, we can evaluate the legislative option without the ballot question, okay? But I'm preparing you for probably a likely no to that, just to make sure we don't go down a whole path and then realize that's not good, because you know, you're probably going to get a lot of comments about notifications and budgets and who files this. And so, you know, it could...
So the home rule doesn't apply to those kind of changes?
Right. Home rule legislation, we'll just back up. Home rule. The council can file legislation with the state in the House of Representatives on any matter y'all want to do. That's what's called a home rule. So, I'm trying to think of the last one we did. It was the land swap with the recycling center.
Well, the license.
Well, the liquor license, you're right. So the liquor license for Daisy's was a home rule piece of legislation that you file with the state, Rep. Roy gets a bill number, and it's a piece of legislation just like the legislation that Mark Minichelli was asking for, any other bills you see. So we're a home rule state, a citizen. Any citizen can file their own legislation in the legislature. That's what's called a home rule. Most states don't allow that. In fact, almost every state doesn't allow that. You have to have a sponsor. But a citizen, you know, Jane, you could go up as Jane Calloway Tripp, not a council or anything, and just file a bill. You'll have a public hearing. You'll have a bill number. You can track it online, and you can see if your idea becomes law. It's kind of that old Schoolhouse Rock video of how a bill becomes law with a little bill. You know, he runs around. I mean, it really is. I mean, that's actually a really great thing for Massachusetts.
That was a flashback.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You all set, Tim?
I'm all set.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Just to combine the comments of Councilor LeBlanc and Warren Jowell, trying to decide, I think probably the approach we want is that ad hoc committee, but the question is, what is it that we could actually focus on, to your point. I was going to use the terms, like changing terms, as kind of the example, so I appreciate you actually stating that that's something that we couldn't do through that, but that's really the nuance I'm looking for. If we were to, say, stagger terms, could we do that through the ballot question? It sounds like you think the answer is likely no. So given that, you know, if we were to form an ad hoc committee of the town councils, it would really be about identifying what things in the charter we might.
You just took my question.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Like we might want to actually address, and you know, there's probably going to be. You know, let's say there's 5 to 7 things that we see there. It's one or two that, you know, we just have to figure out what we're going to prioritize if we're going to do something as part of the ballot question. But at the end of the day, the bigger question, the bigger issue, as Max pointed out, is making sure that we've got the budget, the finances, to make sure Franklin is moving forward. So, sure, that's the priority. But I don't believe that keeping that as a priority should preclude having an ad hoc committee that's looking at the questions on the charter, looking to identify one or two things in the charter that we could potentially change. Recognizing that we can't do wholesale change at once, if we can at least identify what it starts to create, that list of things that may that we may want to consider and want to change, we can actually start moving forward and have a plan. So that's my thinking and probably what I would suggest.
My only comment would be I agree exactly with what Kevin has said there. That's kind of where I was going. Let's keep working.
Ted?
A lot's been said. I think if we're going to go down the direction, I believe in January, of establishing council goals and truly looking at what committees are realistic to be subcommittees of this body and what committees are realistic, let's just be honest, for staff to be able to properly support, because there is a huge amount of their time that has to go into supporting all of these initiatives, goals, and committees. I think we just have to look at that, and if a charter review ad hoc committee is doing just what Ken said, they're going to take the time, they're going to just go through it line by line, maybe they're going to call out a couple of things that are antiquated or a concern, or this needs to be looked at further, or at least highlighted, then maybe they come back to us with a report after 6 months, a year, whatever timeline they establish, like all of our other committees have done in the past, and then we then say, okay, maybe now this is ready to move toward an official charter committee that the public votes on and elects people to take it further, or maybe we scale it back. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we could go with this. Jeff Roy did legislation in Medway that got some charter stuff done through the legislature, but that doesn't mean that that's necessarily going to work here. Right, so I mean, I'd be all in favor of putting a group together that's going to take a look at the charter. It's just a matter of what's realistic.
So I've kind of agree with everybody. I think what you do is you put an ad hoc committee together. I'll work with you, Jamie. We can figure something out, and then get the list that we think we need to change. Not now. I understand, Max, we got to get through the budget and everything like that. We'll get that. And then we can decide whether, oh, okay, all these changes are significant. Okay, we should do do the whole thing or do the small part. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. Well, Councilor DeRocco, Sharon, I agree. I actually agree with what everybody said. I think we've kicked the can down the road on this for a long time. Both of you know we've had it lingering out there. But I think to Councilor Blank's point, and I appreciate his input on this, I mean, we've got to kind of start somewhere and get some sort of just short list of things. The town attorney and I have like a few tweaks in there about newspaper ads, right? Like, I mean, they seem trivial, but they do extend us having to have second readings a month later, then maybe back-to-back meetings. There's just a few even efficiency things in there. And I think producing a report, if the goal could be that 2026, we could get some ad hoc committee to report out by the end of the year the top 20 things that people have heard that would change. I think that would be a huge leap forward. And if the council wants to consider a ballot question for 2027, in the local election, I did look up the statute. I will say it does say 15% of voters. I don't see any other out on this. But also, I think we'll talk to Rep. Roy, and we'll try to get some legislative facts of how many of these home rules are going through the legislature these days. I know many aren't. And so I know Medway's had some in the past, but Medway's also kicked it back to Medway voters when the town clerk issue came up. So. I think that we got to do something because.
No, that's what I'm saying. So
I agree with you. Yeah. So maybe I'll talk to you, Mr. Chairman, and we can put a group on.
Together.
I also do believe Max is correct. Once you get to mid-January, as you'll hear in TA report, you're going to be all budget all the time, and you really should be. So I think this could be a side project for the summer.
That's what I'm saying. Max, real quick, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just to the point about committees, I know we're probably late to the game on this, but maybe we have traditionally had the Economic Development Committee, the Budget Subcommittee, and the Capital Budget Committee. if we were to combine budget and, I'm sorry, capital budget and budget into one committee, there's a lot of policies that don't really have anywhere to go right now. They don't go to economic development, they don't go to budget. If we combine those two budget subcommittees and create a third policy subcommittee, and we could talk about the trust issue that we had a gentleman in front of us talk about wanting to build trust. We have this issue with regards to the charter. You know, having a separate policy committee would allow us to do all of these things we're doing, with also not straining the bandwidth from the administration who needs to do the minutes and that kind of thing. So if we reorganize our committees, maybe we can do these things in those subcommittees.
I don't know, capital's pretty easy, though.
I mean, I'd say to you, Mr. Chairman, I mean, Councilor Malloy and I and Attorney Sorrell are going to meet the second week of January or January 8th, 9th, whatever the date was. We glossed over on the last agenda the deputy town administrator conversation in my office structure. So, like, we're kind of moving backward here. At some point, I need some other people to do some other work. People came into my office today and every week, and they say it's depressing because there's no one there and it's just desks. I think the committee structure serves its purpose for a while. Kicked around some ideas of maybe liaisons, maybe some other ways of dealing with stuff than maybe subcommittees, because subcommittees are agendas, packets, minutes, more nights out. You know, it's something we have to really discuss. Because I'm already working two jobs, so to do the third one's gonna be pretty hard, although I'm probably confident I can do some of it. And I'm being legitimately serious, and I do appreciate Councilor Marangello bringing that up, but I think when we talk about the rules of procedure, we're gonna have to talk about some other way. I actually truly wanna find a way to empower all of you to go do more stuff. You know, going to ribbon cuttings, dealing with a whole variety of things that I think can actually help take some weight off of our shoulders. But I think subcommittees are going to be really hard to do. And capital is easy, but also joint budget. Bad news for you guys. In 3 weeks. I mean, it's almost like, what's the point? You just have more meetings out to talk about the same stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. The definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing. Like, we're just continuing to do it. So at some point, we have to figure out the bandwidth issue and how we're going to solve the problem.
All right, let's move on.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.